our minister Leopold.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. God is good, greatly to be praised. They did say that word was like a weapon. Amen.
All right.
Amen. I just carry my weapon with me. Amen. God is good. To Dr. Williams and to Reverend Gwen and all of you who are here this morning, God bless you. We are going to not waste any time. I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be anywhere. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I went to tell my when my dad was living, he would always tell us that it's just good to be seen. Amen.
Amen.
Because we could be buried in the grave somewhere, but we're here. And so we thank God for that. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. We are going to come out of Psalms 139 on this morning.
All right.
And we're going to read from verse 1. Verse 1 through verse 14, Psalms 139.
Right.
When you say it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?
Yeah.
If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utter parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to bow for a word of prayer and for a sermon topic. We're going to talk about our amazing God. Amen. Our Father and our God, Lord, we just come. We thank you for this day, even for an opportunity, Father God, to stand here, Lord God, and declare your word. Just pray, Father God, that you would just open up our spiritual hearing, Lord God. Open up our hearts to receive what thus saith the Lord. So just continue, Lord God, just to cover me with the blood of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power. Forgive anything that needs to be forgiven. Clear my mind, clear my heart, clear my spirit. That they may see you and not me. That they may hear you and not me. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our amazing God. How many people know God is truly amazing?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We say it all the time, but to really think about it, God is truly amazing. My husband and I took a road trip this weekend. My grandson turned 7, so he went to his birthday party. And while we were on the road, I was just looking at the trees, just the scenery. And I was thinking to myself, man, God is really amazing. To have all these trees and the green trees laid up against the blue sky, and some of the trees were on hills. And I'm thinking, how can a tree grow on a hill? But it grew on a hill, and some of the trees were green and full, and some of them were barren and dry. And then you would see water, and you just see different things. And I'm thinking to myself, God, you're truly amazing. But we rarely think about those things on a day-to-day basis, but God has always been amazing. From the beginning of time, God has been amazing. The Bible says that in the beginning, he created what? The heavens and the earth. He spoke what we see into being. Just spoke it with his words. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And everything God wanted, he spoke and it became. Yes. God is amazing. And not only that, when his Israelite people were in trouble and they cried out to him, he was able to deliver them by parting a whole sea. And so we know that God is truly amazing. God has always been amazing. There's never a time that God is not amazing. And it's up to us to be able to see the amazement of God. But it takes reflection. Amen? It takes us to be still and just to know that he is God. And one thing I like about David is David knew God was amazing. Amen? David knew God was powerful. David knew God had all power. David had a relationship with God like no other. When I think about David, I just think about a man who loved the Lord. We say we love the Lord, but David really loved the Lord. And one of the reasons we can say that is we can read David's writing. And David is very authentic. We don't have authentic people anymore. People who are just down to earth. People who are just real. A friend of mine sent me this little clip on my phone, and she sent it, and it was a pastor who was talking about how he had gotten a lot of negative feedback about a message he delivered on smoking weed. Amen? So he was talking about smoking weed, and I guess he was talking about how, as Christians, that should not be something that we do and how we can be delivered and so on and so forth. And he said in his feed box, he got all these negative comments about being judged. People thought he was judging them and he was just speaking the truth. He was just being real. And it seems like people just don't want to be real anymore. That's right. But David was real. David was authentic. When something was bothering David, you knew. When David was happy, you knew. When David was confused, you knew. He didn't hide anything about who he was. He allowed that to be seen by all of us. And so we can read in the Psalms and we can see David, this man after God's own heart. And we know that he is a true lover of God. And so then he writes this psalm, Psalms 139. And when I read it, I know that David had to really be thinking about God. To go this deep in this passage of scripture, he had to be thinking about God in his entire being, right? He had to be thinking about God in all his many facets. He had to be thinking about God and all that God could present to him. And so he starts off and he says in verse 1, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." Isn't that something? You have searched me and know me. Who is that? Tasha Cobbs? You know my name? And oh, how you walk with me. And oh, how you talk with me. David knew that before Tasha Cobbs sang that song. He said, "You have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up." That's amazing, isn't it? That God knows every seat you sit in, and when you sat down, and when you got up. He knew when you lie down, and he knew when you got up. And so he is what we call omniscient. He's a God who knows everything. How does that make you feel to know that God knows everything? He knows everything about us. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. There's nothing about us that God does not know. He knows it all. And we could try to put on the front and act like we're this and we're that and we're holy and we're this. But guess what? You might fool some of the people some of the time and all of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool God. God knows us. He knows how we are made. How does he know? Because he is the maker. He is the one who created you. He knows how your mind works. He knows how your mouth works. He knows the things that you like and the things that you don't like. He knew all this when he created you and formed you in your mother's womb. God knows us. And for most of us, that's good news. But for some of us, not so good news. Just depends on what you're made of, right? What you're about, because even though God knows us, he never stops us from doing what we want to do. He hopes we do the right thing, but he doesn't make us do it. He hopes we live a good life, but he doesn't force it upon us. But yet and still, he still knows everything. And the good news is that because he is all-knowing, he is the only one who understands us. Have you ever been misunderstood? It's a terrible feeling to be misunderstood. Because no matter how you try to explain yourself, once people have heard something or thought something, it's hard to get them to change their mind about that. Yeah. And so you could be easily misunderstood, but the thing about God is he never misunderstands us. Because he understands what we don't even understand. He understands us better than anybody. And so when we need to be fixed, we can't just go to anybody. When something is wrong, we just can't go anywhere. We need to go to the one who created us and really knows us and understands. I drive a foreign car. Getting oil changed on a foreign car is difficult. Just an oil change. One, it costs a lot. And two, most people don't know how to do it. Now, I know nothing about my car, but I do know that taking it to get an oil change is a major production. Everybody can't do it. And I can't tell you how many times me and my husband have taken that car to get the oil changed and had to take it right back, get in the garage, and there's a big pool of oil. What happened? Take it back. Oh, we forgot to put the lid on, or we forgot to do this. And so it tells me that this foreign car, while I like it and it's pretty, I need to know that the maker is in America. Amen? Because I need that maker in America so that I can take my car there and get it fixed without having to take it back 3 and 4 times. And so sometimes when we're going through things, we go to people and we expect people to understand. We want people to understand. We want people to help us. But unfortunately, sometimes they can't. Sometimes we just need to go to God because God is the one who created us and he knows us. And not only does he know us, but he's not going to judge us. If you make a mistake, it's okay with God because God is full of what? Grace. And grace covers everything. There's nothing that grace does not cover. And so not only does God know us, but he completely loves us. This too is amazing that God loves us. Are you always lovable? If you're honest, are you always in a disposition where you are lovable? I think most of us, if we're honest, we would have to say no. There are many days that we are unlovable. Yeah. Sometimes we can't even love ourselves. We're so mean and evil and wake up and in a bad way. We don't even love ourselves. We're just unlovable. But we serve a God who is amazing in that he can love us in spite of what we throw at him. Most people cannot. The minute you say something wrong to some people, cards are off the table. Don't talk to me again. Don't look at me again. Don't say hi to me again. Don't say bye to me again. You just off the table. Yeah, all right. But God doesn't do that. He's so understanding. Because he understands us, he can love us. People don't love us because they don't understand us. But God understands us, and because he understands us, he is able to love us with unconditional love. Unconditional love can only come from God. Nobody else can love you unconditionally. Some people say they do, but just do the wrong thing. Just press their wrong button. And you'll see very quickly that they can only go so far with their love. But God can go all the way with his love. There is no stopping God with the ability to love you. As long as you're willing to be authentic and real like David was, as long as you're able to admit your wrongdoing, as long as you're able to say, I am hurting, as long as you're able to say, I need help. Some people can't say, I need help. Everybody around them can see they need help, but they can't just get that words out of their mouth, I need help. But if you tell God that you need help, God is ready to help you. God is willing to help you. God can help you through anything. God can help you through everything. But he has to hear it from you. And so God is a God. He can accept us like we are. He understands us. And he can keep on loving us. And not only can he love us, but he can also forgive us. People have trouble with forgiveness. Even Christians, y'all. People have trouble with forgiveness. Because forgiveness is not a natural thing. To me, forgiveness is a supernatural ability. People just don't forgive in the natural. People want revenge. People want payback. People want people to just say, I'm sorry. I'm just waiting for them to say, I'm sorry. Well, what if they never do? You're going to hold that grudge forever just because somebody hasn't said, I'm sorry. But God has the ability to forgive and to forgive completely. You know, when people say, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Well, I struggle with that because if you won't forget it, how did you forgive it?
Yeah.
If you won't forget, how did you forgive? Because forgiveness and forgetting kind of goes hand in hand. But the thing is, when I forgive you, yeah, I could remember that you did it, but it won't have the same impact. I won't have to keep bringing it up. I won't have to keep looking at you cross-eyed because you did what you did, because I really did forgive you. And now that I forgive you, I can forget it enough to still stay in relationship with you. And so people say that they forgive you, but they won't talk to you anymore. That's not forgiveness. People say they forgive you, but they won't call you anymore. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness and forgetting goes together. How do I know? Because that's the way God does it. When he forgives, he forgets. And so if we say we are his, when we forgive, we need to forget. Because that's what God, he doesn't hold anything against us. If we confess it to him, he is just and faithful to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says our sins are thrown to the far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. And so he remembers our sin no more. And so he is an omniscient God. He knows all about us, and yet he loves us. He knows all about us, and yet he forgives us. But the other thing that David sees is that God is everywhere. And he says in verse 7, he says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? And he goes on to give all these different scenarios of places that he thinks he can go and he can be away from the presence of God. But the fact of the matter is God is everywhere. Amen. God is in this room right now. God is in your home. God is in your car. God is everywhere. The thing about God is, one, he's invisible. We can't see him doesn't mean that he is not. Just because we cannot see him does not mean he is not there. He is there. He is everywhere. God is an omnipresent God. When Jesus said, I will go with you always, even until the end of the world, he will go with you always, even until the end of the world. But if you're just basing it on a feeling, then you won't know that God is always with you. You have to know it in your heart, and you have to know it in your head, because it's not always going to feel like God is there. When those boys were in the fiery furnace, it probably didn't feel like God was there at first. But then he showed up, right? He showed up in the fire. He showed up in the lion's den. Everywhere you need God to show up, he will be there. And so we just have to walk by faith and not by sight that God is going to be present. And David knew it. He said, everywhere I go, I can't escape you. Remember Adam and Eve hiding behind the bush? And God said, where are you? Well, he already knew where they were. He wanted them to know where they were. I see you hiding behind that bush. Why are you hiding behind that bush? And so God is everywhere. And so putting those two together, he's everywhere and he knows everything. You think people would act better, wouldn't you? If you know that God can see everything and that he's everywhere, you think we would stay out of some places, right? You think we wouldn't say some of the things we say. We wouldn't do some of the things we do. But people have a tendency to forget. Like I said, at first you have to reflect on the awesomeness of God, that he sees everything. You have to wake up with God on your mind. Wake up knowing that God is with us. Wake up knowing that he's ever present. But then he says this, for you have formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single person in this room has been fearfully and wonderfully made. And if we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made, why do we spend so much time trying to be like other people? If God has created each and every one unique and different and for a different purpose, why do we try to be copycat carbons of other people? If you go to most churches, you're going to see some of the same things. Somebody's going to preach the same way that they've seen somebody else preach. Somebody's going to pray the same way they heard somebody else pray. But God has created us to be unique. God likes diversity. We like to copy people. And I think God might be sitting up in his head, scratching his head, saying, why are they acting like sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so when I created them to be who they are? God is looking for us to be our authentic selves. Even in the church, we cannot copy people. We need to be who God created us to be. He wants all that diversity to be available in the church. The people I can touch only go so far, but you can touch somebody that I can't touch. He needs you to be who you are, to use the gifts that he has given you. He has already designed your purpose, and I cannot fulfill your purpose, and you cannot fulfill mine. God needs us to be who he created us to be. We're each fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we need to get off this notion that church is supposed to look a certain way and people are supposed to sound a certain way and you're supposed to pray a certain way and you're supposed to sing a certain way and you shout a certain way. No, be you. Be who God created you to be. Then the church will be what God wants it to be when everybody uses their gifts and their talents, when everybody stops faking it, when everybody is real, when we could feel other people's hurt, when we could feel other people's pain, then we could really be the church that God is calling us out to be, because he needs each of us to operate in the sphere that he has given us. And so we have turned church into something that God did not intend it to be, a copy carbon of the church down the street. They're doing such and such. We need to do such and such. Well, God ain't never told you to do that. He created each church individually. Amen. Did you know that each church has its own purpose? Each church should have one similar vision, and that is bringing people to Christ, but a different vision on how to go about doing that. But we see it working for one church, and we think it's supposed to work for us. But we need to seek God to see how he wants us to reach people, because the way he wants us to reach people might be different than the way he wants someone else to reach people. And so he says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, even in my mother's womb, you were creating me. I look the way God wants me to look. You look the way God wants you to look. Why are we so what beauty is, and this is what it's not? But God thinks we're all beautiful. Wouldn't it be nice if we all thought we were beautiful? Then we wouldn't try, so this place will be packed. Some people aren't here because they're trying to put their makeup on, trying to pull it together. That's why they're not here this morning, amen? Because they're not satisfied. How come we couldn't just get up out of bed and come on to church? Amen. But we got to go through all this process trying to pull ourselves together, trying to look a certain way instead of just accepting who God made us to be so we could show up and show out on his behalf. Yes. All right. So even from our mother's womb, God knew what we're going to look like. And he said, this very good. He knows our purpose, what he intends for us to do. Everybody got their own ministry. Amen. The church isn't the only one with the ministry. Everybody got their own ministry. Amen. And he wants us to live it out. And so even in our mother's womb, he created us. He made us what he wanted us to be. He formed us. He shaped us. He allowed us to come forth. And he given us natural talents and natural gifts and things that we can do to accomplish our purpose. Do you know that nobody else can accomplish your purpose but you?
Amen.
I started a group in Michigan one time. It's for young girls. And I knew I was the Lord because I don't work with young people like that. But I did. I worked with these young girls for a year. Amen. And I knew it was God. And so we had this program and they loved it. And we did a lot of different things and learned a lot. But then we were called down to Texas. And so it kind of left that program hanging. So another girl tried to step in and take it over. Well, by the end of the year, that thing had fallen. Why? Because it was my vision. And when God has given you a vision, it's hard for somebody to step in and do it just like you did it. If you're going to step in, you're going to have to do something to make it your own. Because if you try to follow what was done previously, and that's what we try to do a lot, we try to keep tradition, right? We kind of try to do what was done before because that's the way we always done it. But if you're going to take over the helm, you're going to have to put a little bit of you in it. Amen. Because it's not mine anymore, now it's yours. And if it's yours, then you need to go seek the Lord. And you need to find out what needs to move it forward. And you need to be the one to do the work. And so often we just want to do what we did before. Well, it's not going to work. New vision, new people. We need to do it a new way. And it's just as simple, if we try to do it an old way, it's not going to work. And so God created us in our mother's womb. He brought us forth. But God did another amazing thing. As good as that was, God fearfully and wonderfully made us from our mother's womb. But then he came back and he fearfully and wonderfully remade us.
All right.
In the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so while all that was good, that we came out and he gave us gifts and he gave us talents, there was something missing. That was just the outer man. The outer man came forth from the womb. The outer man had gifts and talents. The outer man was able to do things. He was able to look a certain way. He was able to go here and go there, but there was something missing. And God knew there was something missing. And so he said, let me recreate them. Recreate them fearfully and wonderfully. Remake them one more time. And how does he do that? By allowing us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God remakes us one more time. And if you think the first time was better, you should try the second time. It's going to be even better.
Right.
And this is a hard concept for people to understand. And Jesus tried to address it with Nicodemus. He said this word. He said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't get it. He was like, do I go back into my mother's womb? Like, how am I supposed to do that? I'm an old man. How's that supposed to happen? And God was letting him know, no, you don't get it. The second birth is a spiritual birth. The physical is already here, but the spiritual is lacking. The spiritual is missing. And until God breathes on that spirit one more time, you are not reborn. You are not born again. But when he does breathe on that spirit, when he does allow you to accept his son, when you do believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is going to make your life brand new. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so we have an opportunity to be reborn. That's amazing. And that's good news. Why? Because our first birth did some things to us. As we journeyed through this life, we got into a lot of trouble. As we journeyed through this life, we got into a lot of sin. As we journeyed through this life, we made a lot of mistakes. And while we can't go back and undo it, we can start afresh and anew. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. When we believe in Jesus Christ, God is going to give us a fresh new start. He is going to allow us to have a brand new walk and a brand new talk and a brand new way of looking at our life. And so don't get stuck in your old life and think that there's all there is to it, because God is able to allow you to be born again.
That's right.
Oh, that's good news on this morning, just to be born again, to start again, to have a fresh start. And this time is in Christ Jesus, him and me and I and him. Now I can go through this life with the perspective of God. Now I can go through this life with the hope of God. Now I can go through this life knowing God. Fellowshipping with God. That's the part that was missing, was the God peace, but he made it right through Jesus Christ, and now we can have the God peace in our life. And so he formed us from the beginning in our mother's womb, allowed us to come forth, and then he's given us this opportunity to be born again through Jesus Christ, his son. But there's one more thing that he's going to do, and it's truly amazing, that when we leave this place, he's going to give us a brand new body. One more time. God is not finished. He said that this corruptible has to put on incorruption and this mortal has to put on immortality. What does he mean? He means that when you leave here, we're leaving all this behind.
Yeah.
This old body, this old world, this old life, it's all going to go away, and God is going to renew it one more time, and he's going to give us a new life, and he's going to give us a new way, and we will never have to worry about being sick and about dying and about crying and about having pain. All that is going to be passed away. And so God is God of the past, he's God of the present, and he's God of the future. And each step of the way, he's going to give you an opportunity to be with him in different facets of life. And so we are fearfully and wonderfully made, not once, not twice, but three times he is going to remake us until he gets perfectly what he wants. And when we get to heaven, we will be perfect because it is a perfect place for perfect people. When we get to heaven, we're going to be all that God wants us to be. When we get to heaven, it's all going to be about him. When we get to heaven, it's all going to be glory. It's all going to be Sunday. It's all going to be hallelujah. It's all going to be good. It's all going to be great. It's all going to be God. And so three times God has given us the opportunity. Our amazing God, three times to get it right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."